Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soulmates Podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Rachel.
And we're here with our friend, Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Hello. It's me, Nikki Mirage.
So, Nikki is a full-time content creator on www.twitch.com. Would you say that you're a streamer?
Yes, I would call myself a streamer.
A streamer and a drag performer.
Yes.
So, let's focus on the drag first. When did you start drag and what was your inspiration to do that?
I started drag in September 2013. So it's been 9.5 years, which is kind of wild to think about. I suppose I started drag because I had just watched seasons 4 and 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race and I was like, that looks fun. I kind of want to do that. I've always been kind of theatrical, and it would be kind of fun to do that. So I guess I kind of just was inspired by the show, seeing local drag, and being like, yeah, I want to do that. And also, our local anime convention had a drag show in it for the first time ever coming up the January after I started drag, and I said, I want to be in that. So that's kind of how I got started.
Hey, you gotta be booking yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we have known Nikki for a really long time, and even before Nikki started doing drag, like, there are videos out there of her performing to songs, lip-syncing to songs, performing in outfits. Not like cross-dressing, I guess, but it wasn't a huge leap.
No.
To get there.
Yeah, we've all known each other for, it's like, over a decade.
More than 10 years, because yes. We know Nikki pre-drag, so.
We're out here being old, revealing our geriatricness. Yes.
Our hagness.
30 plus.
Hagitude.
Yeah. So, Nikki, what made you want to start a Twitch channel?
So, I started Twitch in, like, end of July 2019. And I had been watching Twitch. I started watching Twitch earlier that year, around like March, April. And because I saw this trans woman who was really funny on Twitter, a lot of Twitch clips came up of her playing Overwatch. And Overwatch was one of my favorite games at the time. Her name is Angel XO. And I started watching her and I was like, oh my God, she's so funny. This is so entertaining. It's something to do. It feels like community online. I really liked that. And then I found other streamers like Deer, who was a drag queen on Twitch and pretty popular and had this team of drag artists. So I was like, oh, drag on Twitch? Well, I do drag and I think this is a fun platform. So I started streaming initially, not even in drag all the time, but my drag was my branding because I don't know, it looked fun. Mm-hmm. Prime Day came up. So I ordered myself a microphone and a webcam and I said, let's just try it. If it's fun, I'll do it. If it's not fun, I won't. And I tried it and it was fun and I kept doing it. And also, it felt like another outlet for me to be artistic and creative, and also an outlet for me to get attention, which is every drag queen craves.
every person, yeah. Let's be real.
Attention. Yeah, every person. And the real tea is that I knew that I was finishing my graduate program soon, and I was likely leaving the city, and I wanted an outlet for drag that I could continue doing even if I move somewhere new.
Mm. Yeah, and for those of our listeners that don't know, why would it be difficult for you to just, you know, pick up drag in a new city?
Because they don't know me there, so it'd be like starting over. Not over, because I have costumes, I'd have experience, but I would still have to do like talent nights and go out and meet people and work for free for a while just to get my name out there and try to get booking. So it'd be easier than starting fresh, but it still would be work. And what if I ended up somewhere that didn't have a drag scene, or I ended up in a living situation where I couldn't really do drag publicly like I did for 2 years because of between pandemic and living with family. So
mm-hmm. Right. And so, not to get political, but you know, if drag gets outlawed in a specific state, it's not just easy for someone to move up and pick up where they left off somewhere else. It's actually not feasible. So that isn't really an option for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not like getting a job transfer to a different,
exactly,
you know, sector. So what does a typical Nikki Mirage stream look like?
Boobs? No, that's not true.
Booba?
Massive chest. Yeah,
only sometimes. it's really like, I'd say, I would call myself like a half just chatter, half gamer, so if I'm doing makeup on stream, I probably won't even get to a video game for like 3 hours, because I'll be doing makeup for like 2 hours, and then I'll just chit-chat and like lip-sync and talk for like an hour, mm-hmm. and then I'll start playing a game. If it's an out-of-drag stream, because I do both, I will usually still talk for at least like 30 or 45 minutes before getting into a game, because I just like talking, and I feel like that's the time you get the most like interaction directly with your community on Twitch. Some people like to complain about it that watch me. They're like, oh my gosh, when are you going to play the game? And I'm like, when I get to it. Mm. But I'd say it's a lot of like just chatting for a bit. And then I play a lot of horror games, actually. Ooh, scary.
Scary.
So right now I'm in the middle of playing Resident Evil 4 Remake. I actually kind of got popular for playing Resident Evil games back in 2021. Because I got popular enough to become a Twitch partner back then, mainly due to like TikTok clips blowing up, and a lot of them were for Resident Evil content, so I kind of got known for playing the Resident Evil franchise. Obviously, there's only a finite number of Resident Evil games, so I eventually ran out of those to play, and I kind of became known for playing other horror games in the same realm, like The Evil Within, but also just playing a lot of indie horror games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just so that Nikki doesn't undersell herself, a lot of the times the makeup that she's doing on stream are like things that are just like seared into my brain are just like horror level like Sonic the Hedgehog makeup, where she made herself look like Sonic the Hedgehog, like where she would like close her eyes and she had giant cartoon eyes. So it's not just like quote unquote typical drag queen makeup. She does like kind of out of the box things sometimes on her streams as well.
I do like a contest on my channel where people can request me to do things, and sometimes they are a little wild or out of the box, and I guess cursed, you could say, cursed content. But I like Twitch because as a drag artist, it allows me to take chances and do things with my makeup I would never risk in an IRL gig, because I need to look pretty mm-hmm. for the IRL gigs and just get paid. So it gives me a chance to branch out of that, like my comfort zone as a drag artist, and experiment and try new things, because there's no risk. It's just my channel, my content. I have control.
So what challenges does a drag queen face specifically on Twitch?
The same challenges I'd say any underrepresented group faces on any platform, really. Like homophobia, I'm plus size, I experience fat phobia. Because I'm perceived to a standard hateful person, sometimes transphobia is thrown my way. I'm not trans, but sometimes transphobia is thrown towards me, or just in general. Queens of color on Twitch often experience racism. There was a while a few years ago, it was like last year, I think it was last year or the year before, there was like this massive amount of hate raids happening against a lot of creators, especially black creators, and it was horrible. And it was like constant mm-hmm. hatred coming into their chat. That's since died down a bit, thank God, but like it's mm-hmm. it was getting pretty bad there for a while. I was lucky that I didn't really experience many hate raids, but I get typical trolls on Twitch just in general. Mm-hmm. I know that about a year and a half ago, the drag queens on Twitch were actually facing a lot of swattings.
Oh my God.
Yeah, where drag queens became the target of swattings on Twitch. To the point that I had to go, because I was living with my family at the time, I had to go talk to my parents and be like, just so you know, the drag artists on Twitch are currently being targets of swatting. If it happens to us, this is what happens. Luckily, it did not happen to my family, but I knew a lot of drag artists, including one of my best friends, Inertia, was caught in one, so.
Can you define swatting for someone who might not have heard of that before?
Yes, so swatting is the act of calling in a hoax call to 911 and acting as if like the person there, so the streamer has like say a gun or holding someone hostage, has committed a murder, so it creates so that the police send out their full force like SWAT team to the streamer's house usually while they're live to try to interrupt them and try to like either it's considered a prank, but people have died from swatting.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, because usually the police, once they get there, they realize that it's a hoax call, because especially mm-hmm. when the drag queen walks out, it's like, hi, I'm a streamer. Right. But it's still really scary for everyone involved, and people get caught in the crossfire, like family members or people who might live at the same address.
Oh my God.
So it's basically, and it happens not just to drag streamers, obviously. Swatting has been a big problem for like a lot of streamers over the entire course of like mm-hmm. streamers on the internet. But It's basically a hoax call to the police to try to get, like, a SWAT team and, like, firefighters and stuff sent to your house.
That's lame as fuck.
Right? Like, diverting emergency services, putting people in risk of line of fire from stupid police officers, and, like, just, yeah. It's awful. If you've never heard of it, that is the thing that happens a lot.
Because that was happening so much, a lot of us try to be careful with our information on the internet, with, like, what we're putting out there in terms of our identities. Like, some people don't care, and obviously if you get any form of, like, celebrity, it's very easy for people to figure out who you are, but at least not giving it to them easily. So, like, I don't usually tell people when I'm streaming what my actual name is.
Mm-hmm. Do you say that you live in Florida?
I say I live in Florida, and if you go, and because I'm a working drag artist that works at a bar, it's very easy to figure out what town I live in, because if you look at any of my Instagram stories, if I'm promoting a local show, you know where I live.
No address.
No address, but you know what city I live in. No address. Which is, I mean, as a drag artist, I kind of like, okay, well, I need to promote my shows in person, so I just kind of have to, like, it's fine that people know who I am. Not every drag artist on Twitch is a working drag artist. Like, they don't all work. Like, some of them are only outlet of drag is Twitch, but a lot of us also do work at IRL gigs.
How is content creation for drag online different from your content creation for Twitch? Like, are you doing things differently, or is everything meshed together?
It kind of all blends together into one, like, amalgamous Nicki Minaj machine, I guess. Like, that sometimes I'm better at keeping up with it than others. But, like, there's, like, I have a Twitter, I have a TikTok, I have unless they ban it. I have an Instagram, and I have a YouTube channel, and obviously I have a Twitch, and it all kind of, like, feeds into the content creation pipeline. Twitch has no discoverability built into the platform at all, hardly. So most of the traffic I have to drive to Twitch has to come from, like, TikTok clips or YouTube videos or vice versa, kind of guiding people to other things. So it all kind of meshes together. But, like, obviously, like, I post gaming clips on TikTok. I post pictures on Instagram, although I kind of stopped that for a while because Instagram's algorithm stopped favoring images and only cared about videos. Like, longer form videos on YouTube. Twitch is obviously the live streaming. So, yeah, it all blends together.
How did the pandemic, and specifically, like, not being able to leave your house to go do drag, how did that affect you on Twitch? It became, like, your only outlet, right?
So I would say that the pandemic was very, for people, for Twitch as a platform and for people on Twitch, it was very beneficial to creators on Twitch because no one could leave their house. They had nothing to do. So a lot more people went to start watching Twitch streams because it was, like, the closest they could get to, like, social interaction from people because it was live streaming. So I grew quite a bit in popularity over the pandemic on Twitch, and a lot of drag artists came to Twitch during the pandemic to do, like, digital drag shows because it was the only way we could do drag. And I was already doing digital drag shows on Twitch starting, like, week two of the lockdown. Essentially, me and Inertia created Two Girls One Webcam, like, right around the same time Bitch Pudding created digital drag. And so when all these queens started coming to the internet, like, I already knew what to do because I was already technically savvy. So I was able to sort of take advantage of that a little bit with growing and creating an online presence for drag because I was already there. But the pandemic definitely affected a lot of people, and it drove a lot of people to Twitch because not only did a lot more people start watching Twitch, though, a lot of people joined it as streamers. Like, Stream Queens, the team I'm on, had, like, 20-something members before the pandemic. It's got over 100 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Nikki even hosted an online drag show for SwampCon our local con, the year that it was entirely online. Did you do that on your own Twitch, or was that SwampCon's Twitch?
Me and Inertia hosted that. We pre-recorded the hosting bits, and I just edited it together into one, like, hour-long video, and then they played it on the SwampCon Twitch channel.
Yeah, that was really cool too.
Do you have any favorite digital drag performances that you did?
Yes. I really enjoyed my Christmas number I did in 2020, where it was a dedication to Florida, to 100 Degrees by Kylie Minogue. I also had a really fun one called A Day with Red Velvet, where I wake up in the morning and come down to the kitchen to find Red Velvet performing Oompa Oompa in my kitchen. And then I take them in my minivan to the Revy Festival. And then we, on the way, we run over Blackpink and That was fun. And then my, like, my Sonic number was really fun, where I was, like, scary Sonic the Hedgehog doing Motivation by Kelly Rowland with, like, buff Sonic men throwing money on me.
Oh my god. So
digital drag was definitely an outlet to get creative and do fun stuff.
So what are the technical requirements for your streams? I know you have a mic and a webcam.
Yes. So, like, good lighting, decent microphone. Mm. I've been using the same $30 microphone since I started streaming, and I've considered updating it, but it sounds better than some people's, like, $100 microphones. So, I haven't.
Drop the T on your $30 microphone.
Emily had it at one point. It's a Fafine microphone. Yeah, but it's...
Mine literally fell apart, but I'm glad yours is working.
Yeah, mine's still working. Mine's still kicking. But yeah, I have a $200 webcam. I did not start with a $200 webcam. I started with a $40 webcam. And then a decent enough computer to actually run the stream. I stream because I'm a Twitch partner or whatever. I get guaranteed encoding, which is like... The different qualities, so like 360, 480, 720, 1080. Mm-hmm. So if people want to watch me, they can lower the quality if they don't have good enough internet to watch me at max quality. But I stream at 1080p, 60 FPS, and you need a decent graphics card to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. You can't be out here streaming on an iPhone.
Some people are. Some people do IRL streams on their iPhones.
I know people can, like, do live streaming out in the world because... I've seen people be live streaming, like walking around a city with a selfie stick. So I know you can do it with a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. So, like, in my job, sometimes we do, like, filming on location, and we have to get people to sign media release forms. But I guess if you're streaming on Twitch in a public space, you're just kind of in the video.
Yeah.
It's not like they can... blur you real time.
I don't know. I've never done an IRL Twitch stream. I don't have unlimited data, so I can't... that ain't happening.
There's actually been a lot of controversy about, like, streaming in public, especially at Disney World and Disneyland, because there's a bunch of children everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I foresee them banning, like, in-person streaming at amusement parks or places where there's children.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I don't know, I just stream from my bedroom at my desk. I guess another thing you need for streaming is fast internet. It's fast enough internet, because it takes a lot of upload speed to do Twitch.
Do you want to rant about Cox Cable?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, our local internet provider is...
There was like 2 months last year, like I think it was like October, like end of October, November, December, where Cox was literally, we're supposed to have 35 megabits per second upload. It was like 2.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so there was 2 weeks there I couldn't even stream, and because streaming's like my main job right now, I was basically like, this is literally messing up my income, like my livelihood. So that was really annoying and scary. And then I was pretty sure that Cox was throttling me. I did a test stream to YouTube where I wasn't getting a bunch of frame drops, but then as soon as I did it to Twitch, I was. And then I bought a VPN, and I started streaming to Twitch through a VPN, and I wasn't getting near as many frame drops as without the VPN. So they were definitely throttling me for a while. They haven't been for a few months. It's been good, knock on wood. But, yeah, internet service providers suck. And that's not just Cox. I had issues with Xfinity when I was living with my family, too. Same problems.
All cable companies are absolute garbage, and I say this with 100% confidence.
Oh, yeah.
There's not enough competition out there to make them not shitty.
They skirt the monopoly laws because they don't have a monopoly of the state, but they have monopolies of regions.
It's the same thing!
Yeah, it's the same thing! Like, Xfinity doesn't exist up here, and Cox doesn't exist, like, down south.
They're like, I'm not the feudal lord of the state, I'm just the feudal lord of these three counties.
Yeah, literally.
Ridiculous.
And so there's no competition, or if there's not everyone has fiber internet access, so you can't even buy that. It's like, it's a mess.
Yeah, Kyle and I tried to get cable internet because we wanted to have a hardwire plug-in, like through an Ethernet cord, and the cable company told us that we would have to pay $15,000 to get a line, and we said no. So now we have satellite internet, which is not cheap, but it's not $15,000.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe if that was somewhere you were going to plan to live the rest of your life, but it's not. So, like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Literally.
Final question for you, Nikki. Do you have any advice to people who want to start to do drag and stream?
Don't. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but you do. I'm just kidding. I'd say if you're interested in doing it, like, just do it. Have fun. Like, if you want to start drag, there is way more access to, like, tutorials and resources now for someone starting drag than there was when I started drag, like, 10 years ago. There was, like, 2 videos on YouTube of, like, queens that I now look 10 times better than that are but those are like how I started, because like there wasn't that many resources, but there are so many makeup videos out there. Go out and get to know queens in your like local or kings in your local scene. Watch how they do their makeup if you can.
Do not ask your female friends who know how to do makeup how to do drag makeup, because they don't know. They don't know. They do not have a fucking clue, okay?
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you can for fun if you want to dip your toes in the water, have your friend put you in interesting makeup at 3 in the morning.
But it's going to look bad.
And wear her cosplay wig at 3 in the morning. Those pictures exist, yes. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. They do.
But yeah, just buy the stuff you need. Try it. Get out there. Just do it. Don't be afraid of looking bad on the internet or in public, because everyone does when they start. I look at pictures of myself from even like 3 years ago and I think I look busted compared to like now. So never stop growing and learning. If you do start drag and you start to find success, never get content. And then in terms of streaming, same thing. It's like, go live. Get your friends to watch you so you can get your numbers up. Because get your clips out there for when you're streaming. You have to be able to talk to no one for a long time in the beginning of live streaming, because you're not going to have a bunch of viewers right away. But if you like it and you enjoy it, just have fun doing it. Start it. Don't invest a ton of money into equipment right away until you know if you enjoy it and if you like doing it, because there's no reason to invest a bunch of money if it's something you're going to quit. And then you can always, if you build a community that supports you on streaming and they start buying subscriptions and donating and doing things, you can afford to incrementally upgrade your stuff. So, like, I was using, like, a little tiny ring light and had, like, no green screen when I started. Now I have, like, a green screen and, like, actual lighting and a good camera. But I built that up over years. So just do it.
Yeah.
Have fun. Get started, and if you like it, keep going, keep pushing. It's going to be hard sometimes on mental health, especially, because I will say that drag is an interesting thing, especially when you do drag on Twitch, because the product is you. So if you feel like you're not succeeding, then it's very easy to make the jump mentally to being like, is it something I'm doing? Am I the problem?
No, Twitch is the problem.
Yeah. And yeah, I will exactly. say that some people are better at entertaining than others, and that is just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everyone, some people are just naturally more able to entertain and have that kind of spark than others, and that's okay. And I'm not saying don't try. If you're not one of those people, doesn't mean you shouldn't try and you can't put yourself out there. Because even if you find a little bit of a community on Twitch, it's still fun.
Yeah, and you might be really entertaining in like a club atmosphere, but maybe not as entertaining in like a Twitch atmosphere. So you got to find your niche, yeah, you know?
Sure. Like, not every drag queen is meant to host shows. Some drag exactly. queens are incredible performers. Don't put them on the mic. And other drag queens are good on the mic. And they're just okay at performing, so we'll always have a backup too, though. It's like, I may be doing drag and Twitch full-time right now, but I have a PhD, so I have a backup. I can find something if I needed to.
Okay, you heard it here, kids. Stay in school and don't give up.
Don't get a PhD, though. Just get, like, a bachelor's or a master's. Okay, that's what...
Hey, Kyle will agree with you.
We have a higher degree drama
yes, it's
here.
Like, yes, don't get a PhD unless you really want one, but that's not what this podcast is about.
Nikki, where can everyone find you? Give us a list of all of your socials.
So on Twitch, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, you can find me under Queen Nikki Mirage. And on Twitter, I'm Nikki Mirage Live. Because Queen Nikki Mirage was one letter too long to fit as an at.
You could have been Queen Nikki Mirage.
Yeah, I didn't really want that. So I'm Queen Nikki Mirage pretty much everywhere. You can go to queennikkimirage.com to get a list of everything for me. It'll relink you to my link tree. And you can also go to miragemerch.com and buy my t-shirts.
Yes, Nikki has beautiful t-shirts.
Yes.
Everyone should go buy one right now, immediately after listening to this episode.
Very that.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking with us, Nikki. And we're going to wrap up the episode with our weekly K-pop recommendations.
My weekly K-pop recommendation is Back in Vogue by Alexa.
My weekly K-pop recommendation is Hold On Tight by aespa.
My weekly K-pop recommendation is Snapping by Chungha.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with our friend, Nikki Mirage. You can find Soulmates Podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/soulmatespodcast.
You can find us on Instagram, where we have our link tree that links to all of our relevant social media accounts at Soulmates Podcast.
Send us an email at soulmatespodcast@gmail.com.
Check out some of our videos on YouTube at Soulmates Podcast.
You can find this program pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found: iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and Spotify. Wherever you're listening right now, make sure you like, you subscribe, you follow, because we are here every other Friday in your ear holes for you. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.